I want to recount to you the story of someone who used to be a member of the church. It's told in the first person, and I didn't want you to think that it was me speaking. Here's what he said. I guess my enlightenment started about 2 years ago. I was sitting in church, and they were praying for the Lord's Supper. I was examining myself, as 1 Corinthians tells me to do, and everything seemed fine, but as the plate got closer, I just wasn't feeling it. And I let the plate go by. The next Sunday, I sat towards the back of the auditorium. We got to the Lord's Supper, and the prayer was offered for the bread, and I watched people during the prayer. About half of their heads were bowed. Several had their eyes open. A few were talking. Someone was writing something, and as the plate came down the rows, some people kept their heads bowed, almost like they were still praying. Several swiveled their heads back and forth, trying to figure out which direction the plate was going to come from. And some were still talking, and several were digging through pockets or purses, looking for money or checks, knowing that the collection would be soon. And I let the plate go by. Half the people weren't even paying attention. It was just a ritual. Had it become just a ritual to me too? Was that why I wasn't feeling it? I decided from then on that I was only going to partake if it felt as special as it should. I tried to find an opportunity in class to bring up the topic. I found myself watching people in class too. I'd sit towards the back so I could see everyone, and it was about the same. Some people were turning to every passage, a few spoke up, a few seemed to be staring off into space, a few were talking, a few were drawing, a few people were on their phones. I thought I saw one person fall asleep. I was listening to the teacher. He was going over conversions in Acts. Was there somebody in the class that didn't know about the conversions of Acts? Was that someone even listening? I wasn't getting anything out of class. Why didn't we study something we hadn't done 100 times before? Why didn't they ask people what they needed to study? They'd ask once what we wanted to study, but they never asked what we needed to study, and they hadn't picked my suggestion anyhow. I decided that I needed to study stuff that would help me. So I decided I'd wake up the same time each Sunday, but I'd study at home on my own. And then I'd come for worship. It was in one of those Sunday morning study sessions that I had my real breakthrough. Why was I not feeling it when the bread and the fruit of the vine came by? Why wasn't I getting anything out of class? It was love, or the lack thereof. Everything was just a ritual, a false sacrifice. God said to obey is better than sacrifice. And what are the first two commandments to obey? Love God and love your neighbor. If you do that, everything else falls into place. What's better, to go to assembly and step through the motions again? Or to stay home and feed my neighbor and tell him about the love of God? If you have love in your heart, then you know the answer to that. In fact, if you have love in your heart, you have everything you need. And don't get me wrong, the Bible's the Word of God. And it's full of truth, but it's for people who can't open their heart to love. It's an aid. I guess traditional worship is an aid to some people too, but for most it seems like a crutch they lean on when their legs work just fine. I still go to singings occasionally, especially the big ones they have every year or two. I guess I still have a crutch or two. And that's the end of what they said. That's a very scary thing to me. I've heard some people fall away that stopped believing in God. I've heard some people fall away that started talking about they heard the Holy Spirit talk directly to them and they started, you know, obeying whatever they heard in their head. But this isn't like that. This is reason, this is thought about, this is studied. So I wanted to talk briefly, which I think I've already failed, but I wanted to talk briefly about some of the problems with this. And not the technical problems, not the scriptural problems directly, but the way in which it was approached. When they were talking about the Lord's Supper and when they were talking about the class, they were talking about these people that weren't paying attention. People that were going through motions. People that weren't even going through the motions. But they did mention the people that were focused. They did mention the people that were there that at least appeared to be caring about what was going on. And they didn't focus on those people. The fact of the matter is, you get any group of people together and you're going to have people that are doing better than others, and you're going to have some people that aren't doing at all. We had a congregation in Fayetteville, we had a man, he came to every single service and he couldn't have cared about God any less if he tried. But his wife came and he came. And when she died, he never came again. He also wasn't focusing on what he could do. If you see problems out there among your brethren, go and talk to them about it. Or go and see what you can do. Sometimes things get, I won't say ritualistic, but they get repetitive. I think it's great when someone's leading the Lord's Supper and they read a passage out of 1 Kings or something like that, and you're caught off guard. You're like, if you don't read somewhere in Matthew or 1 Corinthians 11, you read somewhere else, people are like, what's he reading about? How's that related to the Lord's Supper? But the entire Bible, they talk about that scarlet thread, the entire Bible is about the path to salvation. It all ties in. And there are other aspects. There are things you can do to help people get involved. There are suggestions you can make. You don't have to wait for someone to ask you. There have been people that have suggested things here. They suggested, let's have two adult classes, and one of them can focus on first principles, and one can focus on meat, or one can focus on new parents, or something like that. I've been talking too long, so I'll go to my last point. Another problem was that he mixed correctness with incorrectness, and this is dangerous. He said, all you need is love. That's right. All you need is love. That doesn't mean you throw the Bible away. All you need is faith. But faith without works is dead, and love will drive you to read the Word of God. If you love God, you're going to be reading His Word. If you love God, it will drive you to be with fellow Christians. If you love God, it will drive you to find the very best way to do things. Brother Goforth talked about this a little bit. Doing new things isn't necessarily good. But if you find a new thing that's more expedient, that means it's better. That means, what is it better at? It's better at what we're trying to do. Edify one another, save souls, get to heaven. The point is, love drives you to action. The reason that we love God and the reason that we love Christ and the Holy Spirit is because they first loved us. They gave us everything. And when we rejected everything and sinned, they gave more. And if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He gave Himself, and that the Father sent His only Son to die on the cross to cover your sins, and you haven't been baptized, then come forward. We have water prepared, and we can baptize you. If you have had the proper love and faith, but you've not been letting that faith drive you to action, or if you've lost that faith and love and you've been doing things that are sinful, and you need the prayers of the congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing.